Can you believe it? We are back. Episode 53, Underground Espionage. Tara, it has been a minute.
Feels so good to be back. Oh my God.
Yeah, it does feel really good. I know. Apologies. It's actually the longest we've been gone since starting Underground Espionage. We've missed a week here and there. I don't even want to think. Yeah. Well, I feel bad, but look, the Chaos Vortex is strong. We were doing something behind the scenes, Underground Espionage related, that we did complete and submit. So that in a way took place.
Maybe that's why I feel like it hasn't been that long. Yes. Because we did. That's right.
That kind of did take place of an episode because of we. Yeah. You'll see soon enough what it is. You can probably guess what it is if you've already seen what we've been involved in already this year. But yes. So that was something we did, and then just swirling and swirling and twirling. And as this recording, I'm just going to put this up the second we're done.
Great.
So we're just going, this is going up.
Perfect.
As of this recording, this day, right now, 10 years in Los Angeles. Tara, how crazy is that to even consider?
I know, it's really wild. And when we look back to photos of the day that we landed and none of our stuff was here, and we just had our gear. It was like an accordion, a synth, a
computer,
suitcase, laptop, computer. That's kind of
it. And an air mattress
and just fucking folding chairs here. And there was nothing in this apartment. Yeah. And then we had that thought of what if we just told the movers to not bring the stuff and we just not have stuff. It was what a wonderful time. No refrigerator.
Literally.
Because apartments here don't come with refrigerators.
Sometimes
so
they
just
don't.
We ate across the street a lot at the diner.
The 101 diner, now the Clark Street diner.
Yeah. Saw Johnny Knoxville there on our first day.
Yeah, we're like, hey, look at that.
Hey, we're in Hollywood now.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, no, it is crazy to think. And even anyone seeing this place, we were showing someone pictures of 10 years ago and then,
you would never believe we could cram this much stuff in
here.
Really got a lot of
and
stuff, believe it or not.
Yeah, we're screwed. I mean, we can never leave.
So many things. Well, I think improvements. I retiled the floor.
I
put a bidet on the toilet. I got a shower head. I did a lot of upgrades.
We love this place, the Underground Espionage Lair, the initiation services, offices, the Yellow Gas Flames headquarters. This is truly... we do love it here.
The den of iniquity.
It's the den of iniquity. And, the very rare few people who do enter here are always immediately transported. And that's the idea. We want this to be, you're transported out of once this door closes, you are in this world that we are creating. And again, as we always said, we don't believe in escapism. But what we do believe is in creating your own world alongside and inside this larger world. And you can carve out
your little cocoon, your nest,
and emanate the energy from there. That's what you can affect, and that's what you can do, and that's what the underground does. That's what we do in the underground,
The demi-monde.
Exactly. So it's been we were talking about this, and I was telling a few people this. This has truly been the best 10 years for us, you and I.
And hilariously, we literally got this apartment thinking that once we got here, we would go find another place and move somewhere else. But it just kind of stuck. The neighborhood's great. We have a parking spot.
We really do love
here. It's really been hard to leave.
I have no interest in leaving. We really do love it here.
If we just had a bigger place again, we just fill it full of more crap. We had a 3-bedroom place, 2-car garage, and we cram that full of stuff too.
But even just these last 10 years, when we moved here 10 years ago, Yellow Gas Flames didn't exist. Initiation Services didn't exist. Noise Extra, Underground Espionage. Yeah. All this stuff that this new world we've created and built and continue to build, in these past 10 years, even for all the things we did before it, I feel the most invigorated and the most
active, focused, and activated. Yeah.
Activated, I would even say, would be the better word. And just this year has just been the most activated year. Which, of course, leads me to the two big things that have happened since our last episode.
100%.
Number one, of course, we'll do it in the order. Number one, of course, April 2027, Osaka.
That's right.
White
Everybody
House.
Get your passport in order.
Get it in
get
order.
Get your shit together.
Get it in order. Tickets are already over half sold. This is going to sell out very, very soon. It's going to sell out before you know it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to regret it. Everyone knows the last Osaka was an incredibly special event. This, in some ways, feels even more special because, of course, we got the return of White House. Of course, one of our all-time favorites, one of our biggest inspirations, one of our longest, you know, you and I together. Just
yes.
The first time I brought home dedicated to Peter Curtin, put it on. It was like, oh,
this is my favorite
this
now.
This is
Yay.
It now. And
let's
then you,
go. I'm
then
done.
Great White Death, and you just get it. And so,
say no more.
Yeah, and then down to, you know, obviously just forever. And having gotten to play with them a good amount of time, someone was asking me how many times I've seen White House. And I was like, honestly, probably double digits. I mean, because if it did shows with them, festivals mm-hmm. with them. If not double digits, the closest to double digits.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually want to tell the last story the last time I saw them and played with them. And so this was in London. And it was the end of a tour. And we show up. And William and Philip are standing outside the venue. And in our minds, like, oh, came to say hi. Like, what? Cool. Well, yeah. We'll have a drink after soundcheck or whatever. That'd be cool. Or maybe they're coming to the show. You mm-hmm. know, I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, great to see you. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, you know, you didn't find out, right? We're like, what? Like, we're playing. And they purposely kept it a secret.
That's so sweet. That's amazing.
And so we so excited. But this is right when the smoking ban went to effect in London. So for these shows, and it was like at a upstairs of a pub.
Yeah.
All the windows, which normally would have been open so people would smoke, were locked. It was in July.
It's insane.
It was so fucking hot. Sweltering.
Yeah.
And
no central air.
No.
Just stagnant, steaming.
And due to the
breath
heat
of many people.
Due to the heat, they were having crazy equipment problems.
Yeah.
So they weren't able, it was like, oh man, they're not going to be able to play, you know? Mm-hmm. Crazy equipment problems. We play. They come up and they're like, hey, here's the deal. We're going to play now, but don't tell anybody. We're just going to do it. And, you know, if any people stay, they stay. They don't, they don't. Maybe 25, 30 people.
Ugh.
They proceed to completely destroy for whatever, 25, 30 minutes.
Amazing.
They were just completely on fire. One of the greatest.
They doubled down on it. They were
and
like,
they
we're doing this.
It was truly the greatest. And, you know,
I believe you called me at that time.
Well, no, that was the New York show.
Okay, yeah.
Because I was in London.
Oh, yeah.
This is
back
in the
then,
day.
You couldn't get international plans.
Yeah,
like,
no, that was
no
the New York
way,
show where
happened.
I called you when they played Cut Hands and held the phone up. I didn't even say hi, I don't think. Mm-mm. And I didn't say bye. I just called and held it up, and you listened the entire time, and then
yep.
I just hung up.
Yeah.
But in my mind, that was going to be the last time I ever saw White House. You know, this amazing, almost private show.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we got to talk to Philip on Noise Extra, and that was so much fun.
Always a pleasure.
And, you know, again, you just never thought this was going to happen, you know. It just felt like one of those, you know, that was it. They called it a day, and that was it. But lo and behold, the power of Hospital, the power of Dom, the power of Dom and Becca as a team, come on. I mean, they got Masana.
Dude.
And now they got White House. And, I mean, dude, Abruptum, I mean, that never played, so that's almost like you couldn't even predict. You couldn't even be like, what bands would you want to see, you know. Order from Chaos last show. That I'm really excited about that. Prurient, 30 years of Prurient. I mean, and then CCCC, come on. Anyone, any Noise Extra listeners knows how we feel about them, and especially how Tara feels about them.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, getting, well, it's getting to see that is just good. That's, and again, the full lineup hasn't even been announced yet.
I know.
So it's like, we don't
can't even digest it.
Like,
it's
I gotta,
insane.
Like, I gotta remember.
I can't. I know. Like, what are we allowed to say?
I mean, look, this has been the hardest thing for us to keep a lid on. Every time we'd go out somewhere, or go to like the Mermaid, I'd be like, Tara, don't forget. Nobody knows. You know?
Nobody knows yet. Yeah. And I'm Captain Forgetting that nobody knows. Yeah. So I'll just yap about it. So yeah, it's been tough.
It's been really tough, but
I've been afraid to mention Japan for
Yeah, but we obviously we can't wait. So we're a little under a year out. You know, obviously we're gonna we can't wait to come up, hang out, say hi. We've gotten so many messages from people that are so excited. And of course, a few days after that, a big record came out, and I gotta say, I'm beside myself with how incredible it sounds. And I was here and witnessing the recording of it. And that, of course, being the Eroticism LP Effort on Hospital Terra. You absolutely destroyed this record in a way that, again, like I said, like I was here for the entirety of the recording, watching you record, watching you sample porn.
I was here too, but then it's like sometimes you hear it again after you've recorded it and you're like, oh, I did that? Oh, I remember. Well, like, I remember it going together. It's just, you know.
And it's and to me, that's the best feeling. And, you know, whatever. It was, it's the best feeling when it's out of your hands and then it comes back with the cover and with the, even as weird as it is and just the world we live in now, like once it's on the Bandcamp, like it feels real. Like you can listen to the files off the computer, but when it's on the Bandcamp, you're like, oh, it's like real with the cover and everything. So I just got to say, like, how incredibly excited and thrilled I am with the work you did. Some, you know, it's got the great classic Eroticism sound, but there's also something different. It's very dark and minimal, but then you get the last track with the beats, which is something brand new for Eroticism. And, you know, the response has been great. I do feel like a proud husband, Tara. A proud husband.
That's a great Eroticism title.
Proud husband.
The proud husband.
The proud husband. But it is true. I mean, I've listened to it. Like, I went for a walk and listened to it like 3 times in a row. Yeah. So look, Edition of 69.
Recorded in a dark and sensual, stress-filled fever.
Well, look, I mean, like I said, this has been this year, and we've been so focused and activated. That doesn't mean that there's not darkness going on in our life, but it means that we've honed it in, and dark sensuality that adds to the world that you and I have built. You know, you and I, and of course with, you know, Gray and Dom and Becca, like our crew, like I'm not saying it's, you know, we're not isolated.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
This, our crew is a part of it. You know what I mean? And so, and the encouragement and the back and forth and the critique of, you know, of course, like working with Dom, it's, hey, you know, this and, oh, try this. Oh, this is a cool thing. Try this. That's how we work together.
Yeah.
And I would only want that, you know. And even you and I, how we work together, you know.
Of course, you know,
hey, what do you think about this for this track? Oh, that's cool, but why don't you try this? And but, you know,
exactly.
You know. But look, it's got to be going pretty fast, I think. So make sure, you know, Hospital Bandcamp, I think that's the way to go. Just you can listen to it right away, pick it up there, and then you got the Bandcamp right away. But of course, the website as well, hospitalproductions.net. Either way, you're good to go. But if you're at hospitalproductions.net, of course, you got to pick up your tickets for Osaka.
Exactly.
Very, very incredible and exciting things to look forward to. It's pretty much all we're going to be thinking about for a year. So,
Yeah, no, it's true. That's what we're going to be doing. I've been enjoying the people reaching out and asking if it's me on the cover.
You know, hey, and you know what?
Generally, I love to just say yes, no matter what somebody asks me, but it is not me on the cover.
Oh, you're gonna just
well,
go in and...
just for these wonderful people that are here with
us. You know,
thank
if you're
you
listening
for being
Undergrown
here,
Espionage, you are a special...
I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason. You know what I mean?
You are a special rarefied air. You stick with us. You stick with our world, because our world extends all over, from what we do there to the way what we talk about on here, and our way of living and just putting it out there.
Hey,
for
these people
here.
Get it. But you know, so but if someone asks you, like,
tell them
Underground Espionage.
Just give them a wink.
People,
you know, just give
be
them
like,
a wink.
Yes, that's Tara.
Just give them a wink. That's what I say. Yeah. Just give them a little wink.
Yeah, she was professionally tied. Just give them a little wink.
No, it's actually a very, you know, to be honest, to be perfectly honest, it's actually a very, very special set of pictures on the cover.
Yes, 100%.
All
and
that
that's
aside,
also why I wouldn't take
it. It's a very, very special set 100%. Of pictures on the cover, and the entirety of it is what makes it. So actually, you know, to be perfectly honest, yes, no, obviously it is not Tara, but it is something very special, and it's sort of like part of those things where, like, you know, if you want to figure it out, you can figure it out. If not, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
But
absolute inspiration.
Absolute inspiration, and And I think what in discussing this is the idea of like sex artistry, and she is a sex artist, and I think you are a sex artist as far as what your work with eroticism and even, you know, yellowgasms, and even what you talk about on here. So I extend that to you as well.
Well, I think the blend of the intellectual process of sexuality paired with the drive and the, let's say, like, what comes automatically, the instinct, you know, the intellectualization and the instinct, I think, go hand in hand. And that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So eroticism, effort. What a great title, too, by the way. And all the titles on the record are so great. Oh, Fussy, yeah. One of my favorites. Oh, my Topped. Fantastic. Well, we wanted to return to episodes today, to programming today, with a favorite of ours. And we were going back and forth with what we were going to return with. You know, Miami Connection was our last, so a really, really fun one, something that's near and dear to our hearts. We were going to do some classic porn, maybe do a modern porn, which I know people have actually been asking us to do something more along the lines of Very Adult Wednesday Addams again. So we'll have to think of a good modern porn.
They didn't ask
to do.
Me to do that, so I didn't know.
Good.
Maybe they should hit me up. Ask for some recommends. Give me some recommends. I'll take them.
But so you know, maybe a nice modern porn episode here coming up.
Although
but,
recording the eroticism, I did watch a lot of smut.
Yes. Yes,
there's a lot of research. A lot of research went into that.
A lot of research.
However,
but so we were, yeah, we were just kind of thinking, what should we come back with?
But you know, slashers are near and dear to our hearts.
Of course.
You know, especially when we were first together. These many years in the year 2000.
Look at that.
Slashers and zombie films were pretty much our exclusive viewing.
That's how we started. That's what we were watching. And
a shared love.
Absolutely. And so it felt like, let's go to a slasher. And, you know, we have done episodes. We have done movies that we had done hometown episodes about. And this one was actually brought up on an episode on Noise Extra that we did with Black Leather Jesus when we all talked about some favorite horror movies, but thought it'd be cool to do a focused and full episode on one of our very favorite slasher movies, The House on Sorority Row.
1982, 100%. This is a favorite, I think, not just because of the intriguing plot, the unique slasher, but also aesthetically, it's such a complete work.
It's a real standout because it avoids the trashier nature of stuff, which of course we love.
Like,
what have we done here on Underground Espionage? Last Slumber Party, you know, all the Wave movies. You know, we love
Friday Five is my favorite.
Absolutely, you know, of course, Tortured Soul. You know, we like some trash. Give us trash, and we are gonna gobble it up. You know, we like to class it up sometimes a little bit, and I feel that this has a feel of a more of an old school, even more of a almost like a 50s in a way. You know, it just has a feel.
Oh, you're saying
a little
it's
bit.
So plotsum that.
The plot, but also just the look and the vibe of it, and even the music. Cause, I mean, the music is very like orchestral.
Yes.
So the vibe of it feels more Hitchcocky in a way. I know the director loved Hitchcock, so it has more of the vibe I get is more that as opposed to like Friday Five, Last Slumber Party.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I love that we're just kind of working this out now. We're like, let's hit record and then, you know, figure out what we think.
That's how we do it, like, on Underground Espionage.
You know, I guess now that you say it, I feel the Hitchcock nature of it. But what we need to discuss first, before we discuss House on Sorority Row, is like, are we going to just lay it all out there, just assume everybody's seen it?
Well, again,
or should
again,
we reach a point where we don't
reveal any
twist or turn?
This is Underground Espionage. We don't care about spoilers. Yeah. We spoil. That's just how we go. I don't really care about spoilers in general. Very few movies am I like, don't spoil it. Usually I'm like, as you always say, it's calm. In fact, I was talking to someone the other day who was watching Columbo. And it's like, Columbo's so relaxing.
Oh my God, Columbo's so relaxing.
Because you know what happened. And then the whole thing is you're just unfolding, watching him figure it out. Yeah. But you know that what happened.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
but that's like actual like murders and stuff. You knew what happened, you know. Yeah. You just have to figure out how.
So yes, we will spoil. And again, what I always encourage people listening is just plow through it. You're gonna forget. You're gonna forget what we said if you haven't seen this. Like,
you're gonna actually, you could have already watched it and have already forgotten.
And
like, what happened.
Or you're never gonna watch it and you're just gonna listen. As we've said a million times, there's so many episodes.
And then
of
you can just spoil it for somebody else for fun.
So many episodes. Of Hysteria Continues that I'll listen to, and I may never watch the movie, but I love hearing them talk about it.
Or eventually you come across it and you're like, oh shit, I meant to watch that, but I forgot because I was binging Hysteria Continues podcast like over, and then I forgot all the things that I said I wanted to watch.
And of course, this is one of the boys' all-time favorites, and we did want to sample the greatest line in this movie, but they've done it so much that we felt that
we really
got to leave it to them. Instead, we'll just do our own. We'll just say
how do we know she is alive?
Tara,
I think that was a pretty good delivery.
I think you got it.
That was good.
I think you got it. Well, Tara, let's kick off our discussion of House on Sorority Row.
So House on Sorority Row is, am I just going to like sum it up?
I don't know. You're usually
pretty
good at it.
It's a tale of six gals who want to stay in their sorority house for their final hurrah. They just graduated, but they want to stay through the weekend and have themselves a party. The only hitch in their giddy up is the evil Mrs. Slater, the bitchy den mom, sorority mom, who says no fun on my watch and wants them to get the heck out of town. They refuse. They decide to pull a prank, which we don't advise here at Underground Espionage.
Anti-prank.
The prank goes wrong. Mrs. Slater dies in a pool, in a pool of grossness. And then her, there's a series of deaths afterwards of the six girls. See, I lost my train of thought because that pool killed me. I know,
so
I was
good.
I was surmising. I was being very concise.
You were doing so good.
I thought about the pool, and then I thought about the party, and I just got like really derailed. Hey. However, so at this point, the girls think that it's fine. They think they're going to cover up, you know, this, you know, manslaughter style murder of their den mother, and have their party anyway, have fun. However, they start getting picked off one by one, and we have to decide what happened. Did Mrs. Slater come back with her evil cane with a really cool bird on it and pick them off one by one, or was it some other sinister force that has come to take them in a fit of revenge?
You killed it. Okay. You nailed it, Tara. I'm very proud of you, Tara. I've been proud. You know what?
Thank you. I got a little
proud
derailed,
husband.
Though. I did get derailed. Proud I'm husband. Just going to keep proud husband. New track. Now, I remember the first time we watched this, and again, much like I enjoy, I relate to Columbo in that, you know, Mike, you let it unfold before you. You don't try to figure out who a killer is. You don't
try
to, like, call the plot midstream. You don't do that. Although, I do that, and I know that it's annoying.
It's not annoying.
Well, I feel that I might be annoyed if other people were doing it, but I am not. I do that. I like it.
Honestly, you really, you know, I like that you're a underground podcaster. I like that you're a sex artist musician. I like that you're a noise musician.
Mm, oh, good.
But really,
oh my,
being a detective would have been a pretty
really
good lane for you. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
let's be very
I love
honest. You would have been a fantastic homicide detective.
Yeah, it's great. Or any type of detective, really.
Detective at the
like
no, at the,
what snacks has the husband been eating today, detective?
He's the house
like,
detective.
What are people going to do? I know, right? So that is kind of the thing. But no, certainly. I don't know what we're talking about, and I again lost my train of thought.
Let's just start. Let's start in June 19th, 1961. Hey, Gray's birthday, June 19th.
Oh, it is June 19th. Well, it starts a few days prior, Mike.
No, it was June 19th, 1961.
The party's on June 19th.
But I'm saying the movie starts literally June 19th, 1961. It says it on the screen. I'm 100% sure.
Now I don't believe you. I didn't write that down.
Because
I thought it started on June 16th.
Nope. It starts.
Son of a bitch.
And I noted.
Oh, I want to fight you on this so bad. Like, oh my God. I like want to pause right now, everybody. I'm not going to lie. I want to pause because I know.
Do you know why you didn't write it down?
No. Do you know why? What was I doing?
You were texting.
God damn it. See,
and I noted it in my head. I noted it in my head.
I would never text when we're watching something. I would never
be
texting, on my phone.
You were texting a wonderful friend, Tara. It's okay.
Damn. But I still think. But then Eric's birthday was on June 19th. So yes. Why would they be leaving on June 19th? Because she was going to celebrate it with him. Why would the whole thing that I don't question anything in this plot, but I do question their decision to make the day that it starts be the 19th. I think the day should have been the 16th, leading up to the 19th, which would be the fever pitch.
Well, they just.
Do you see my point?
The 19th.
Don't you think that's silly? Okay. Well, I call it all into question. Don't you dare look at the computer, because if you delete this, I'm putting in an umbrage.
Don't you dare.
What is that thing when you're like, I would like to file a formal complaint.
Do you want me to turn it on now and go to the first scene live in person?
I mean, I guess you could. What if it takes a minute? We could put it on pause. Well, anyway. So I'll just start. It starts on a flashback. And somebody's like,
June 19th, 1961.
Oh, the flashback is June 19th. Yes, that's when it fucking starts.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, my God. I'm talking about when the sorority girls were trying to get kicked out of their place. Yes, it's fucking June 19th. That's his birthday.
I said
yes.
that.
Oh, my God. I wasn't listening to you properly either. I was too busy just fuming with hatred and anger. Now you can delete this. Now delete it, I say to you. Now delete it. I wasn't talking about the flashback. I was talking about the ladies at the place painting their toenails and doing their hair.
I hope you do die. How dare you?
That's from The Little Foxes. I really love.
We should definitely do a full episode on.
It's Bette Davis? Or is it Angela Lansbury and The Little Foxes? She goes, I hope you do die.
No, Bette Davis.
It's Bette Davis. Okay. So, yes, it is a flashback scene of... son of a bitch. My God, I am so mad, and it's all my fault. It's the worst type of mad. It's the worst type of mad when you're not prepared to not be mad anymore.
Yes.
And you're like,
damn.
Or
when you blame yourself for getting mad. No, I know.
It was like a small misunderstanding, and it was my fault, but I still won't give it up. Okay, yeah. So... where's my baby? I want to see my baby. And they're like, oh, Mrs. Slater, we knew this might happen. And like, so again, it's Mrs. Slater. Yes.
This is underground espionage. The listeners know. The listeners know they're here with
58?
Us.
It's 58.
61.
61?
Yeah, because the movie came out in 82, but technically it would have been, you know, 81. So they said 20 years. It's 61.
Okay. I'll take it. But I thought he was supposed to be 24.
He was supposed to be 20.
I question all of the math.
You know what?
And I'm wrong. That's the worst part. Yeah. Is I'm like filing grievances and I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's terrible. Should we just watch the movie again?
No, I reserve the right. Yes, we will. And we will watch the movie again. But
sure,
I do reserve the right. I reserve the right to argue with myself, apparently.
And me. And that's all good.
So, so we start with the flashback. And then we move to what I was actually going to talk to is an amazing intro. Talk about an amazing intro. We have... somebody just slapdash messy toenail painting with one of those old Revlon bottles that I remember because it was all clumpy. Doing a real shit job made me very happy.
Do you know what I appreciate? The effort.
Effort. Some effort, you know, goes a long way. A little effort goes a long way, right? Shaving and messy rooms and hair drying and just the idyllic life of a sorority lady, just, you know, doing her best and having a fun and carefree time in her college days. You know, Mike, I thought the intro was really nice. Like,
I love
the color scheme of it.
But again, even the music, though, it has that like old feel to it. It's not like a synth. You know what I mean?
No, it's not a synth. It's more orchestral. It's more composed. It's like an actual movie score. Like, I just love aesthetically the entire intro. It almost makes me think that I wouldn't want to jump off that balcony or join a deranged killer in the attic had I lived there. But that probably would have been the case. But for a moment, I think I wouldn't. I think I'd be fine with it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we are introduced to our main cast, and we find out that Katie can stop packing because all six of us are staying. And you know... I know one thing I know about moms is if they come to pick you up at college and you're packing and they're coming to take you home, they really love if you just send them away and say, I'm going to stay here a bit longer. That's cool. Yeah. Katie's mom might be win the coolest mom award.
Yeah, just like, go away.
I'm not coming home. Can you just go and come get me later?
Back in the day, you just didn't have those direct communications, I guess, sometimes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely true. So then we get the whole setup is... the girls are hatching a scheme. They live in an amazing sorority house. They establish, I did make a note. And if I put it, if I indent it, Mike, it means that I really need to hammer this point home.
Gotcha.
It says, okay, How could they not clean that pool? How would that ever fly? I'm being serious. Maybe it's because this is in Maryland. Like, I don't understand why. But can you imagine a time when you would have a pool? Like, if we live there, yeah. like, if I was there also in the sorority house, I would get out there and clean that pool.
I'd be
I would, like, take the towel and try to clean it. I would figure out the chemical
would
kit.
Would love.
I would do, like, a car wash to raise money to clean the fucking pool.
We
like,
would thrive, by the way.
We would thrive. Like, who could live next to a pool. Disgusting
and what,
algae green pool just attracting mosquitoes?
We would thrive, God. And I would love having a pool. And it makes me, like, come on, ladies, let's go. Figure it out.
You know what pools do?
What?
That's what you said. You said it makes me come.
It makes me come.
And then you said on, and you pause, and I was like, what is Mike about to say? Jesus.
You know what pools do? They make me come.
They make me
on.
Come on.
Pools make
I was
me.
Really nervous. I was like, maybe there will be edits today. I
We're
know
doing
we
no
need
edits.
To put this up,
We're doing
maybe,
no edits.
Maybe we should edit it, but I'm just saying.
I have come.
I'm just saying.
I am coming.
Like what?
Right now.
But what? Like, they are youthful and full of energy. They would figure that pool shit out. And
oh,
especially
come on.
Considering that
come.
Everybody at the end of this film is trying to jump in the pool or does jump in the pool or ends up dead in that pool. So I'm just saying, like, I really, I find that suspicious. Oh, I find that suspicious. But then we are introduced, after everybody decides to stay, they hatch their plans and they state that the thing that will be an issue is Mrs. Slater. And we get to see Mrs. Slater. She is dressed so neatly in a lovely neutral suit. It looks like kind of like a linen with a pea plum. She's very poised. She has a rigid cane with a bird head, like a brass head and a hook, and it's very sharp. But, like, I just think that this casting is so perfect in this introduction to Mrs. Slater. She seems the least easygoing. She seems very unlikable. She has a sour face. You know what I mean? Like, she seems like she would just, like, hate you until she was given a reason to not hate you. You know what I mean? Like, I really commend the,
oh,
100%. The casting.
Like, hate is the first emotion. And
yeah,
then it's like
she's
might,
just like,
she
I
might
don't
soften,
like you, I don't trust you,
but
I resent you for being near me.
Yeah.
But that's her first kind of like go-to when she's presented with really anybody. And we're introduced to her in a hospital situation where she's talking to a doctor. He's like, you know, 20 years you've been blaming me for what happened, which again, it was his fault, this doctor. So I guess we don't really have to. Like, argue that point.
It definitely was his fault.
It was definitely his fault. But he was arguing the way that they introduced the ambiguity. Mrs. Slater and her sour face is discussing something with the doctor, how it had been 20 years since her difficult and labored birth, and how there were complications, and they've been there since this difficult and complicated birth, and this tag must be worn at all times. And I love how they keep it open as to who should be wearing the tag. Mrs. Slater should be wearing the tag. They don't really make it clear that a baby survived, but they make it clear that it was a bad scene.
You know, watching it now today was made me, I was like, oh, and again, obviously because we've seen this movie a million times, we know, but I was like, oh, it feels like they're making it very clear. Like, but it's like one of those things where it's like, maybe it's just because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah,
you know?
Like it's abundantly clear.
Yeah.
And again, I guess if you had never seen this, you might be like, whoa, what came out? Like, is it going to be like a basket case situation?
Right.
You
it
know
is
what
actually
I mean?
Pretty strange once you do see catch a glimpse. It
I
is
just,
pretty cool.
God, I just had this insane memory come back. I forgot. I was obsessed in elementary school with the Elephant Man. And I had a book about the Elephant Man, and I remember I moved to a new school, and then I wrote my own version of the Elephant Man, and I illustrated it, and the cover was like just like a guy with a burlap sack on his head with his eye poking out, kind of like Jason. And then I did like all of the like, and then I did like a drawing because he died because his head was so heavy and his head slid off the pillow, and it crimped his windpipe and he like suffocated because his head wasn't on a pillow. And as a child, I thought that was just like the most tragic thing, but also I was like, wow, your head can just fall off a pillow and you die in your sleep.
Feels right.
You know what I mean? So like it was really like one of the most impacting parts of that story to me. So can you imagine being a teacher and being like this little like 7 or 6 year old girl is like, I wrote a book for you. And then you get this, like, the story of the Elephant Man. And then the end is like the empty bed with like a pillow
Man,
on it.
Tara, you've always been awesome, huh?
God. I love the Elephant Man so much.
If I'd have known you back then, we'd have been together since then.
Oh, I think so. We probably would. It's probably a little freaks doing weird shit. It's probably good that we didn't meet until we're adults.
Still do. It is, because it's only gotten crazier as the years go on. Someone asked us that. They're like, do you guys mellow out, or does it ramp up as you go on? And I think probably for most people they mellow out, but they're like, I'm pretty sure for you guys it's only ramped up and gotten wilder. And I said, no, that's absolutely the case.
That's probably the case. We're just more confident about it now.
I guess. I don't know.
More confidently discussing.
We're more confidently diving headfirst into like.
Yeah, I feel like I would have if I had heard you say, I have come on, I would have just no sold it and like not addressed it or like called it out or anyway. And now I'm just like, oh, am I right, everybody?
Wild.
On we go. Mrs. Slater, the ambiguity. What a wonderful device. What a wonderful bit of casting. What a wonderful bit of filming with just her like clickety clacking and her cool thick heels down a hallway. It really, really sets the stage. And what else really sets the stage is when we meet Vicky. And she goes with her Exxon station boyfriend to a horrible place for target practice, Mike. And Vicky is played by Eileen something, Davidson.
Yeah, pull out your, can I see your phone?
Yeah.
Let's pull out your phone. Where is
it? I don't know where it is. Stuck it in a couch cushion.
Keep it out.
I will keep it out, but you know what? I didn't want to be distracted. But while we're recording, so I stuck it in a couch cushion. But here you go. Do you want to see
Eileen Davidson? Correct.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. First of all, looking great.
She looks amazing.
And as you pointed out, Tara, she was definitely in The Real Housewives.
She was in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
You would think it'd be the first thing that comes up to Dick Van Patten.
I'm getting loud, so I'll pull away from the mic.
Yeah.
It says in her IMDb bio that she's married to Dick Van Patten, and like no one else is married to him. We know it's her. I see her face. I saw her as a youth, and I was like, where do I know her? Real Housewives. But they don't put it on because she was only on for like 3 seasons. I mean, maybe she doesn't want to associate.
Maybe she's scrubbed it clean. Because it seems crazy.
I fucking swear. I swear. I looked at it on Wikipedia. So that means it's true. It's her. Look at her face. We've seen the show.
Look, we'll once in a while get into
we
some,
watched it because we'll get into we'll get into Vanderpump
we'll
Rules.
Get into some trash. It's not something we talk about too often. But we will get into some trash.
I was in it for Lisa Vanderpump because I love Lisa Vanderpump.
But I can't. You said that, and I know that.
You can scroll all you want. You're going to have to go online. It's there. I'm telling you. She probably manages her own IMDb page, and she probably doesn't want it on there because she wants to be remembered for her soap work and all of the other films she's been in.
Okay, there you go. I got it. It is weird that it wouldn't be on
there. Like today, it's like we just don't believe each other.
I know it is weird.
It's just like.
It is weird.
June 19th.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. June 19th.
Okay, you know, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird that it's not listed on there. But yeah, so, you know, once in a while, we'll get into some trash. And
I'll leave it out there so we can reference and fact check again, but yeah. I just don't want to be distracted.
You won't be distracted.
I don't want to make the same mistake that I made earlier.
You won't be distracted.
If there's anything I can do, it's learn from my mistakes.
But she's great
again.
In this. And, you know, coming up soon, we're going to see something we've been discussing a lot. We've discussed when we talked about Tortured Soul. Maybe it's something we discussed on the thing we were working on behind the scenes. We got a waterbed scene going on in here.
God,
and Tara.
We do get a waterbed
scene. I'm still saying we got to try the waterbed, but I'm also still saying we got to be careful.
Yes.
Because
we have pointy things. You know?
Just
what if
like,
I wear some pointy jewelry and I fall asleep in our bed and I just yak a hole in it? Okay, so first, we're going to go back to this target practice. I love that you're freewheeling and going with it, and I want you to, but I just need to say, as like a Tara PSA, because sometimes I see things that are unsafe in films, and I just want to say, do not go up on the second story of a barn and do target practice. That is not safe. You should be in a place that can like effectively stop bullets. You don't want to be like way up high just shooting randomly bullets off into the distance, Mike. Do you see the problem with that? No,
definitely. It's not a good thing.
No, you need, like mostly you want to do, like, a target practice against a place that will stop the bullets. Like, an archer, you do, like, against a hill or something of that nature. You really shouldn't be blind shooting in a fragile open-air barn situation where there's people. Just saying.
I'm 100% down with that. That's all I'm
saying. So I just wanted to put that out there. So then we get the beautiful scene of the ladies having their drunken graduation celebration, and this is, I think, a necessary scene where you get to really fall in love with these ladies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you like Vicky because she's actually not in this scene, but you like her because you can tell she's the bitch, right?
And she's kind of loose. And you she like goes her out with her boyfriend and haphazardly shoots.
You like our main girl because she's sincere. Everyone else is telling jokes and she wants to say, you know, you guys have been great.
No, Katie.
Like her. Yeah. But of course, you fall the most in love with Morgan because she is the greatest. You know, she's just a beautiful, just that perfect airhead.
Yeah.
She's going to puke from the drinking.
Well, Morgan's kind of like, I'm trying to think, but nothing's happening. You know, like that kind of situation.
Yeah. So really the standouts to me are those three. I think they're the biggest standouts. You know, I mean, everyone is. Everyone's great in this. That's the thing is I do think this is one of those where everyone is great for their role.
Morgan's a delicate flower in her own way. And Morgan has her own assets.
You know what?
I just love her so much.
Thumbs up.
And you know, Mrs. Slater pops in just. Pissed. Talks about how much she hates Vicky for planning a party and says that nobody's going to go on a drunken spree in my house. Not true in our house.
Definitely not true.
Like, we don't have that rule that we're not going to. We don't try to. But it's happened maybe once or twice.
Once or twice. Yeah, minimally. There's, you know.
And we have the couch stains to prove it.
Exactly. Keep the olive oil away from us.
Get it out of here.
Don't invite us to a potluck. You know what I mean?
Don't invite us to a potluck. You know, now, Mike, we can talk about Vicky having a waterbed because Vicky gets back with her ex-on boyfriend and she was like, tonight, he's like, come on, we usually do it out here. Like, I don't know if they're like doing it in the car, like right in the roundabout in front of the house, which I would argue is probably worse than going up to a private bedroom. Like, just in general, Mike, I don't know how you feel. The guy has a convertible. Should you really be banging in the front seat of a convertible in front of a house full of people? Like, I don't know if that's better.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we've never
it's not
like
a kink we have.
Yeah. I mean,
no interest really. Yeah. However, so Vicky's like, I got a treat for us. We're going upstairs. So they go upstairs, but Mrs. Slater is like, still a little pissed about this whole party thing. So Mrs. Slater busts in on Vicky, the voyeur that she is,
smashes the waterbed with that cane. Completely ruins the waterbed, and I guess that is what would happen.
And that is what would happen if you stick that sharp brass cane in it and you rip it. But God, I love that cane so much. And then I love Vicky and her boyfriend like wallowing around just in a big box of water. I mean, because I guess that's what a waterbed is otherwise. And that's probably the cautionary side of waterbeds, that and what happens in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh yeah,
you know, you don't want to be sucked into the bag through like an evil entity that attacks you in your sleep, and you don't want Mrs. Slater to get you. But I do like that her friends were like, Vicky, you deserved it. Can't you fuck anywhere else?
Come on. First of all, hey, we don't ever shame anyone for trying to get it. You know what I mean?
Vicky,
come on.
Vicky, you deserved it. Come I mean, on. But I'm just saying, like, it's a giant mess for everybody. Like, how long did it take Vicky to deal with that? I mean, we don't see that going down, but whatever. I guess she's out of school. But
this sets up what is going to be something that here at Underground Espionage, we do not approve of. And that being pranks. We are anti-prank here.
A good old-fashioned sorority prank.
Not into it. You know, hey, a nice prank where you get something like, here's a prank and it's a, I pranked you with a piece of chocolate.
I know. Is that a prank? Like, hey, I know you're at work, but I brought you a pizza. Is that a prank?
Yeah.
Can we do that prank?
Yeah. Like, you could, like, if you, like, pranked me with a blowjob, you know? Oh. You know, like,
oh, my God. What a crazy prank.
Oh, what a crazy prank.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to bring you a sandwich, but then I brought you two sandwiches. It's a fun prank.
I was going to give you a blowjob, but I gave you two blowjobs.
Oh, that's the best prank.
That was a great prank.
Like, those are the type of pranks.
That we support
love
here.
Those. I mean, but I will say that, you know, we'll have to have a long form discussion on pranks, but it did come from being part of friends that were pranksters And then just getting to prank fatigue where you're just never safe.
Well, what
and then you can't draw the line of whether or not they're your friends or not, or just people that you always have to be on guard with because they're going to, like, do something awful to you.
The end of pranks and our anti-prank stance came from being on tour. And it's just one of those things, especially when you're young, you know, it's just part of your... You're in the van and you're killing time and you're just going to prank somebody. Oh, yeah. And so we would do it, you know, and again, nothing crazy, but enough. And
like then, what comes to mind is like you're in a diner, you take the straw, you stick the straw in a jelly packet, then you stick the straw back in their drink. So when they take their drink, they have to suck really hard. Then they get a chunk of jelly. Like that's a fun prank.
Yeah, but so it's crazy, right?
But it also kind of messes up your drink and you sucked in a bunch of jelly.
But ultimately what it does is if you just keep doing that, especially on a long tour, it's fatiguing. And that's also like when you just are tired, like I can't respond to this joke
It's
anymore.
Like when people are talking in puns all the time. And you're like, please, I don't want to think about a pun to say back
like
to you
anymore.
Or just like
too much ball busting.
Yeah.
Like I just like, I'm not a fan. And I know like I do it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I understand, but it's like, I do try to like realize when it's time to stop.
Yes.
And so like more and more recently, I've just been like way less into it. And just like, I guess part of this year is I've really honed in on like sincerity, and I'm way more interested in sincerity.
Yeah.
And so stuff like pranks and stuff like that, because the whole thing is like, okay, how am I supposed to respond? Am I annoyed? Cause I am annoyed. And
or if you're tired and you don't react, like if somebody takes your straw out and puts a chopstick in your drink and you try to suck out of it and you're tired, all they want is your reaction. They're laughing. So if you just like put your straw back in, like everybody's disappointed.
So to me, pranks are exhausting. Yes. And it's just like, it just sucks. They suck. Like, I don't like them. And
with this prank that they're pulling, it's not even a prank. It's just like a crime.
It's literally a crime.
Yeah. Well, literally a crime.
And it is a terrifying thing.
Yeah. I mean, they hold a lady at gunpoint and force her to go retrieve her cane. In a filthy pool, which again, maybe, you know, Mrs. Slater should have cleaned that fucking pool. Like maybe she was thinking again, like maybe I should have cleaned the pool. But you know what's weird? I just thought of this, Mike. They never really said why Mrs. Slater. I mean, I guess they made it like maybe the character development of Mrs. Slater was such that they're like, Mrs. Slater is such a buzzkill. She won't let them have a pool.
What happened to her in June 19th, 1961?
I know, but the pool didn't impregnate her. Like, why is she so mad at the pool?
She's all part of it, you know.
Like, she's just like, no one has fun around me.
But this prank goes wrong, and Mrs. Slater does die. And now it kicks off what the rest of the movie is going to be. And what's cool about this one, and again, a lot of the prank gone wrong movies, Terror Train, I know you did last summer. It's not necessarily a prank gone wrong, but like a thing that everyone experiences gone wrong.
Yeah, and you know what? Terror Train. That's a
great prank gone wrong.
Like a good.
Prom night. Similar, right? So, not a prank necessarily, but a game gone wrong.
What I'm saying is maybe the reason I dislike magicians so much is that they're just kind of pranking everybody.
Yeah.
They're like, look at this prank I'm pulling.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but this one, I think more so than those movies, and we love Terror Train.
Yeah.
You know, we love Prom Night. You know, again, the idea of the death gone wrong, but Terror Train specifically is a prank.
So very many slashers start with a prank.
This one really focuses on the psychology of the way the girls are reacting to it, especially in the incredible scene. And this is what reminds me of something like a Hitchcock or like an old timey 50s type movie,
mm-hmm.
when they're at the party and the scene and without a cut, it focuses on each of their faces. And that to me is something that's standout.
When they're trying to have fun. Yeah.
And that's a standout from an 80s slasher where now I feel like we're in a more of a serious toned movie.
And a giallo also at the same time.
100%. Yeah.
Because of the way that the soundtrack is built. And just the ladies being at the party, like making eye contact, like
just like, and you feel that like they're trying to keep it cool and have this party while they know that they murdered somebody or are responsible for someone's death.
And I do. I mean, maybe it is after watching so many things that are, let's say, maybe there wasn't like a lot of script revisions or something of that nature happening. But I do enjoy the trajectory of this plot and then the way that this is laid out.
Yeah.
In terms of it being, there's ambiguity as to what's absolutely happening.
And again,
it's intriguing in the way it's going to come down. So even when you know what's going to happen, I think that the way that the cards fall do it in an interesting and intriguing way. That you don't see that frequently.
And you question yourself, how would you react in the situation? You know,
like I would call the police.
Like Katie. Yeah. Or, you know, or would you hide it? Because, you know, it does bring a lot of that into question because, you know, in those types of situations, you know, you call the police and are you going to get, you know, put in prison for life for something you didn't do?
Well,
you know?
I guess I thought about it differently. I think it's a harder decision because I could never tell watching this because Vicky says, how was I supposed to know there was still a bullet in it? And like, of course, she should know how many bullets are in the gun.
She had blanks and bullets. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I think it's a different scene if she had actually shot Mrs. Slater and Mrs. Slater died in the pool of a gunshot wound versus Mrs. Slater had a heart attack.
Right.
So I would say, you know, I can see why they'd be reluctant to call the police if Mrs. Slater had been shot with a gun. But if Mrs. Slater just had a heart attack, I'd be like, you can like just say it was a prank gone wrong. Or she got in there and had a heart attack. I mean, or you can just say, who knows? Just she had a heart attack. Look, like it's a little different.
Luckily,
you can't give someone
since
a heart attack like that.
Due to our anti-prank stance, Tara, guess what?
We're not going to know. Cause
never
going to
be in this situation.
That's why we don't prank people. Also, not going to like prank an elderly lady. Seems rude. Make her get in an old pool. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's pretty unlikable. I don't want to say what I would do. I don't know this bitch. Here we go.
I'm gonna fucking kill her. I'm glad she's fucking dead.
No. Oh, Mike. Oh, come on. The devil will hear you say that. That's so rude. Take it back. So, I do agree with my notes. Technically, this prank is a crime. Yes, it's not just a prank. It's a straight up crime. But what we're seeing, though, is also part of the joy in the way that the girls are processing what's happening. These young adults, they're about to go in their life. They're thinking about their lives being ruined forever. But also there to kick-ass party and 4 to 5 doctors is playing.
There you go. They're doing their thing, kind of like power poppy kind of.
I was like hoping you'd do a little thing on this, Mike, because I know you've always been intrigued by 4 out of 5 doctors.
Totally, yeah. It is a real thing. Band. I mean, it was not just for this movie. Yeah, I think
we've discussed them on so many occasions on like, what are they?
Yeah.
Like, they aren't even post-punk. They're like,
no, see, like, power pop is sort of a genre that I'm not like crazy familiar with. I mean, I think a lot of Cheap Trick is sort of seen as like the band that people call Cheap Trick that, and I love Cheap Trick, especially the first 3 records.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like rock, but it's not. Yeah, right. It's not like post punk.
But Cheap Trick's a little harder.
Exactly.
Well, but they weren't initially, though, I guess.
But the power pop stuff is sort of like this. Like, there's, I mean, I know some of the, you know, it's not glam, and it's not punky, and it's not, you know, even like New York, you know, kind of Blondie. It's not really like that either.
Yeah.
And just the name of the band is so strange, you know.
4 out of 5 doctors. That's great. Well, 4 out of 5.
But they're like doing the whole night. You know, they got a full gig.
Yeah,
have
I know. Like
more of that
a
wine, please.
Oh yeah,
there.
Wine. Oh yeah. Hold on.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Here you are.
The Velvet Devil. This is like it's appropriate for.
Oh yeah, that is nice. I wasn't going to announce it because this is not like a fancy wine.
Oh come on. Are you? Oh. We just lost a bunch of listeners here. Like, oh, I was here because I thought these were fancy people.
Well, I don't think it's that. I like the Charles Smith wines. It's Washington State. This is just the Merlot. I know people like to make fun of Merlot. But you know what? I think it's a really good value. I think it's well balanced. It's not cloying. It's aged well. I get annoyed when everything now that you're buying is like 2025 and 2024. I want something that has a little more bottle age on it. And this was right. I hadn't had it in a few years and I wanted to try it again. And I'm really enjoying it. So sorry, as Papa would say, put that in your ditty bag.
I would love the idea of like,
you're like
anyone
straw manning
listening.
Myself. I want to fight so bad.
You
were
really
what is
ready
up
to
with
fight.
Me? God.
And I like the idea of someone A listening to this specific podcast.
Pacific.
That is like they
fucking
they like not like high end. Oh, okay,
Ryan has a screw top.
I'm out. I'll listen to them talk about porn. I'll listen to them talk about way too personal stuff of themselves. I'll listen to them just go off on, you know, their hatred of pranks. But they're they're not just into high-end wine, I'm out of here.
Yeah. It's not even a trendy wine. Like, it's in no way trendy. It's not natural in any way. There's nothing carbonic, macerated, or skin contact about this. This is just... I'm enjoying it. So I guess that's all I can say. God, and I can't wait to take a cracker and dip it in that cheese dip after we finish talking.
I don't think a murder has happened besides we are just going. I guess it's been a while. We just want
I just wrote, you know what? It's so funny. Look, Mike, what I did. I did a new thing on the notes this time. I numbered the murders and when they happened so that you can see who was murdered. But I did realize towards the end that I did not count Mrs. Slater as a murderer.
Well, so correct. It's a little odd, but I think we're going with the murder of the killer in the movie.
Yeah, I went with inadvertent murder.
I think this is
on
good.
That one.
I think, Tara, I'm pretty impressed with these notes.
Thank you. You want to
nah,
lead it?
I want
you
want
to lead it from now on?
Nah.
So we're out of doctors is playing. when this dude just comes walking around looking for his favorite tree, I shit you not, and he's saying, you got to watch out, these squirrels will jump out of nowhere. It's not true. You know what I mean? Rats will go for your face, but I don't know of any tales of squirrels doing that type of thing in the night, maybe in the daytime. However, he's looking for his favorite tree, wandering around a yard, and he gets stabbed in the neck with his cane, with his danger cane. It's pretty great. And then some people get pushed in the pool. Mike and I agree.
I'm a sea pig. Is this the sea pig part?
No, it's not. I would have mentioned it. Before that. So, it's when they're trying to swing a gal into the pool.
One of the main girls.
And the guy's like, I forget what he says.
They stop him from throwing one of the main girls in.
He's like, you didn't get out of this, and he pushed her in the pool. And that's what we were discussing is
Tara.
That,
some of the, not only were we anti prank, we are anti pushing in the pool.
Well, it's different if you're at a pool party.
In a
pool
bathing
that's
suit.
Not disgusting.
And
if you're
in
a bathing suit.
You push me in a pool in a bathing suit. But you know what? No,
but
I wouldn't
really.
Do that. But actually, no, I wouldn't because you don't want your hair wet generally.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
you
actually, no. That, so no, actually, I never,
pushed you into a pool, but
you
kind of like it.
It's different.
You kind of like it.
I would say ladies, no. Because sometimes they don't want their hair wet.
Yeah.
But also, especially if you're in your clothes, that's like a just complete.
But I'll tell you this. When we go to a pool, you could dunk me under the water and my makeup will not come off. I swear
but
to
would
you.
But would I?
No. And that's great. And that's respectful and that's nice. You should not. People in street clothes, you shouldn't just kick them in a pool for a fun.
But like,
then
for
you're
me,
wet the whole goddamn
but like
night.
Even for us, Tara, and you know, as is depicted in the Matthew Bright Ted Bundy movie and is corroborated as something he did. Just when he's like walking and he's with his girlfriend, he just pushes her in the lake.
Yes.
Kind of the worst thing he did.
It was like, we were like, God, that was such a red flag. Why did she stand for it? But she mentioned it and she thought it was like really awful.
Kind of the worst thing Ted Bundy did.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, God. That's right. That's right, Mike. It is. Can you believe he did that? Ted Bundy, God. What a nasty boy. So pushing in people in a pool is awful, especially a nasty pool. Dude, then we get when the killer is hiding out in the basement. So now,
okay,
like
now we're in. Now we're in the slasher section of the movie.
We're in the slasher section of the movie because the party is raging, right? And the
Four
party happened
doing their thing.
Just as we, you know, through much debate, established that the party's happening on June 19th. You know,
it sure is.
We
too.
Start the story on June like 16th,
something like that.
Then we lead up. Then we got to decorate. We got to put up a disco ball and crepe paper. And we got to have Mrs. Slate be like, pull that crap down. Like, it is kind of weird to put up a lot of crepe paper, but you know what? They loved it.
Old time. You know
fun.
What? Again, it kind of gives you an old timey feel.
It might be kind of fun. I don't know. Like,
should
maybe
we
should put up crepe paper and have like a little party or something. It'd be fun. Anyway.
Just for us?
I would totally do that. I mean, there's crepe paper at wrestling matches a lot. You guys know, don't you? You throw it across the ring and you're like, yay. That's always really fun.
Let's enjoy that.
I enjoy that when the luchas come on too. Anyway, we could save some from the wrestling match. Anyway. So then we get second person knifed in the basement. She was looking for fuses. I'm saying this would be me.
Because they didn't want the pool lights to go on.
Because if anybody's, because they put Mrs. Slater in the pool and they're like, if the pool lights go on, they're going to see this dead body in the pool.
We, though, as viewers know that she's been pulled out of the pool at this
point.
But
also, like, I wouldn't think you could see shit in that pool because it's so dirty. But I will say this is probably how I would get it because out of everybody, I would be the one that's like, I'll go down to the basement and pull the fuse out of the fuse panel. Like, I don't see anybody else doing that other than me. Do you, Mike?
It, definitely you.
Yeah, but so I'd
go with you, though.
Yeah, but if I was in the sorority house,
right,
you wouldn't be with together? Me. You probably wouldn't be with me in the sorority house.
I don't want to think about that.
But also what I was kind of thinking is, like, I would also go to the light switch. The other move that I've always enjoyed is grabbing some duct tape, like in the funky apartments we've lived in. And I would probably just duct tape the light switch down so nobody could turn it on, because they don't know what the switch is for. So I'd probably just get a roll of duct tape the light switch down, and then nobody would turn it on.
That's a good point.
Because otherwise you don't go to a strange house and rip up all the tape off the light switches and turn it on. It's just kind of a thing, you know? Anyway, so there's that. Then the guys strip down to their gorgeous tiny weighty underwear.
Here we go.
Decide they're going to jump in a pool. And Pig jumps in the pool and declares that he's a sea pig.
I'm a sea pig. I'm a sea pig.
What are you doing? He's like, I'm a sea pig?
So good.
I thought that was great. I loved it. It made me want to watch Porky's.
Whoa.
I love classic. Porky's. 1, 2, 3.
All great.
Solid fucking gold. And then we get the comment, how do we know she is alive?
I mean, we don't even Morgan. Need to sample it. You know what I mean? We don't need to steal Hysteria's thunder. We got Tara.
So that is absolutely fantastic. Morgan is totally upset. They're like, girls are going up missing. We don't know where everybody is. What if something happened? We don't know if Mrs. Slater got out of the pool of her own volition, or something else sinister is going on. Something sinister is going on. Then Morgan goes up to her room, takes off her sexy dress, which is really sexy.
I mean, look. You look.
Morgan's a smoke show.
Morgan is our lady.
And then she puts on something that I love, and that's like a little, like you know, teddy panty set, and it's great. And it's so sad because then, you know, she sees the Jack in the Box, she turns it on, and she gets nailed.
Her death is great, too. I mean, just the way, and like the focus on her face and the way she's stabbed from behind, it's one of my favorites in the movie.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, I think that brings, I don't have to do a blow by blow of everybody who gets killed next.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
But when I can, like, there's eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Good solid body count.
Solid body count. But the other thing that is so intriguing aesthetically about this film is the attic of the sorority house.
So the principle, this attic
that we haven't discussed is that up in the attic, which is not a regular, like, I'm going to walk up on a bunch of stairs. It's a pull down handle attic. Much like Christmas Vacation.
It's the only
style
thing I
attic.
Think about, right? It's the only thing you think about. And in this case, Mrs. Slater's body comes out and knocks someone out.
Yeah.
And Christmas Vacation is different.
Yeah. And that's Morgan, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Before she
Morgan
dies.
opens the top and gets nailed with the body, and then, you know, it's sad. So, but the amazing nursery that has been made out of the attic all this time, that Mrs. Slater made with the clown motif, which was so popular. And this, I think my brother's room was a clown motif.
This clown wallpaper is amazing. I would love to. I would do a room in this easy.
Yeah. And it's that type of thing where it's like, maybe the thing when people allege that they are afraid of clowns is the fact that their faces are covered and they are pretending to be eternally happy. So, and maybe that just like uncanniness of the clown is what elicits that response. But whatever it is, this attic has the most amazing clown wallpaper, an amazing clown motif, and we see the Jack in the Box that matches that life-size clown suit, and it's so unsettling. Like, much like, you know, Mike, we've discussed Gacy's clown makeup as Pogo was so strange because it's pointy.
Because it's sharp. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
very
yeah,
sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
This is darker. It has that like dark kind of like bandit mask, which gives it that senator quality. And
it's
it
amazing.
Has points, whereas very frequently, you know, they round off and soften the edges.
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the greatest slasher, you know, outfits. But it's actually only seen being used killing or actually attempting to kill only briefly right at
yeah.
the end.
Like no one is killed in the clown costume.
Right. This has that great thing
But
of,
you just think of the killer as a clown.
Exactly. And I like that because it's implanted in your head if you've seen it. And then in your mind it's that. But then you realize, like, oh, no, it's actually only put on right at the very
yeah,
end.
Yeah, it's just implied in the wallpaper. Like, at one point we do actually see Eric, the
you do get a glimpse of his
the
face.
The traumatic delivery. Like,
and it is definitely like chilling looking, and you only get that quick glimpse of it.
But it is that thing where it's like his face is just like not fully formed, like it's just clay. You know, it's a really, it is an unsettling image when he's, and much like wearing a work suit, you know, it very much in the style of Jason or Michael Myers.
Yeah. It looks amazing. And just the little glimpse you get of it is good. And it's that thing where it is effective when the less you see, you know,
yes.
People always say that, oh, and sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you do just want to see the killer a bunch. Yeah. And it's nice.
Like in Sorority House Massacre?
Yeah, or in Terror at 10 Killer, right?
Oh, yeah, you know? Terror at 10 Killer. No, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then
you realize, oh, yeah, no, that thing about it being more effective, the less you see, the more effective it is.
But in the van-killing scene when he's backlit and you see the hair and it's like, oh, man, is that his mom? Like,
it's great.
The whole thing is, like, great. Like, I love the lighting. I love the different locations they go to. But truly, this attic is just such a pleasure every time you see it in the film because... You wouldn't expect it to be there, much like Peter, poor Peter, was Peter? Yeah. Much like poor Peter says, you know, like, this is a really cool room. Look at these are cool toys. You know, we'd be like, wow, this is sick. Man, that Fisher Price, like, roly-poly, like, clear dome thing with the swans, that shit's cool. Like, being into the wallpaper, like, I don't know. It's like that time capsule that's unexpected.
Totally.
So, that element is absolutely fantastic. I love the ladies when Vicky and they try to go, they think they're gonna hide the body, you know, that they've pulled out. They find it, they stick it in a dumpster, they put it in their bitchin' van, by the way. That van is sick.
The thing that I think we've really lost in, you know, in modern times is those old school vans. Of course, we had a couple ourselves.
We had a few.
They were the greatest. Many. They're nothing like it.
They're the worst and the greatest.
Exactly. You know, there's obviously a reason they're not.
There's
around
a
anymore.
Wild tale for all of them, but yes, 100%. Those old school vans. I can just hear the creaking.
So sick.
No, it looks sick. Great place to like transport a body, but she had the upper level sleeping deck where the killer can hide, though. Terrifying.
Though.
Oh man, that's good to sleep in. So then. I did think that their idea to go to the cemetery, find an open grave, dig deeper, bury a body in it, and then...
You were feeling it.
I think it's pretty fucking clever.
Yeah, I like it.
I wouldn't think of that to, like, dispose of a body. I wouldn't be like, that's what I'm going to do, you know?
Now it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would probably think of, like, you know, the normal, like, throw it in the ocean or, like, put it in the woods and let things eat it or, like, dissolve it in something or, you know.
Just keep it.
Find it. Just keep it forever, like, in under our couch. You know? Like, dry it out like a mummy and cover it in honey.
Bang it.
Name it and bang it all day, all the time. Get it some cool makeup. Maybe a clown costume now. Hee-hee. But, you know, I thought that was pretty clever. Sorry. But that is the thing, again, about... Sometimes you forget, like, really well-executed plots. Like, you're like, oh, that's smart. You know what I mean? Like, these are college-educated broads. You know what I mean? One of them's going to be a doctor. One of them's going to be a lawyer. Like, they, you know what? They can think. They're making smart moves. Other than, you know, not calling the police right away, which would have avoided all of this.
You know.
But I digress. You know,
well, I think at this point we should talk about Katie. And, of course, she's going to be our final girl in this movie. And her transformation... is very realistic because she's the one who is all along, we should have called. She finds the bracelet where she ends up calling the doctor who then comes, but her face keeps getting more and more, you know, sunken in.
Yes.
Her eyes are more, you know, wild.
Her lipstick is all worn off. She's
It's very realistic to me.
Yes.
To eventually the point where this doctor, who we do already know is pretty nefarious, is going to be even more nefarious because he's going to drug Arcady. And this is probably one of the great scenes in 80s slasher movies. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Tara?
So after the ladies, the fourth and fifth ladies, because there were six of them, get it in the van. Vicky's was the most brutal. She got stabbed with the cane a bunch, which is just so visceral. And again, the effects are great in this. So
it just looks great.
Yeah. It's not an overkill situation. It's not especially gory.
It just looks great.
But
it's
I would
great.
Compare it to like My Bloody Valentine. Like it's quick
and they
and
look
effective.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. quick, effective, like the, and they're pretty disrespectful in the way.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
the cane
yeah.
and the
perfect,
brutality.
Perfect amount. You know what I mean? It's that perfect amount.
100%. So then we're just left with Katie. She's in the house and the doctor gives her what he says is a mild sedative, which I'm totally jealous. Like, I want a mild sedative.
Let's
That's
go.
Nice.
Give me that Michael Jackson. Give me that Michael Jackson nighttime juice.
Oh, my God. To sleep at night? Wouldn't that
this
be
is
amazing?
Only my,
just go when you want.
Like, I've had 1.5 glasses of wine. And I sound like I just slurred.
I know you do. And you had a sandwich. You have had like 8 ounces of wine.
I feel like our reputation is
4 ounces.
I feel like our reputation is going to be tainted after this, you know?
Oh, well, I hope everybody forgives. Do you want to do your classic apology for everything that we've done up to
this point? I apologize for everything I've done up to this point.
Okay.
And what I will do in the next 20 minutes.
Okay. We got 20 minutes left?
Well, I don't know.
Well, we got to get, I'd say we got a solid 10. Well, let's find out. Maybe 5.
Find it all.
Let's
find it together.
Depends on. I'm still on my first.
Oh,
God,
well.
Look at me.
Wow.
Well, I've been yakking away. Wow. I've just been texting on my phone, disinterested, paying attention to
it. While we've been doing this episode?
Yeah, while we've been doing this episode. I'm totally
I didn't even notice.
Multitasking, you know. Well, that's how multitasky I am. So then once the mild sedative happens and then she is informed that she will be the bait because you have to trap this guy. He is so out of control. Eric is a menace. He needs to be caged and trapped and sedated and taken away to protect this doctor's reputation. Do you know what'll happen to my reputation? Like, it's like, well, it doesn't matter at this point because his reputation's toast, Mike, is what I'm saying.
100%.
So the scene where Katie's in the chair and she is sedated and she's trying to stay awake, like, so relatable. Everything turns pink and she's like hallucinating everything happening on the patio of people dancing.
The cane's twirling
around.
The cane
is twirling.
The dead girls mm-hmm. showing up. Mrs. Slater showing up. It looks so amazing.
No, it's an absolutely fantastic scene. And it's just, you know, just the everything becoming more frantic, everything becoming more desperate, everything being confusing, like in the
yes.
situation. So again, that's the psychological element
yeah.
you were discussing.
I think the confusion is something that it feels very visceral and real
yeah.
in this situation, whether or not you're, you know, on something, whether or not you're that drunken confusion, that to me, this scene gets that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That feel of like, oh, like you're.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know.
Like not really understanding what's happening. And so then, you know, we have the confusion of Katie not knowing who to fear more, the killer Eric
or the doctor. Yeah.
So as she's sedated and she runs away to lock herself in the room, climbs up in the attic and then, you know, finds Vicky's gun, gets the bullets, but doesn't really know how to use it. And then is, you know, trying to ambush the killer before he finds her. And what an amazing scene of her just, like, not being able to use the gun. Like, is she also shooting blanks? Like, was that the type of bullet that was in there? Like, just not understanding what's going on. And as she's in the dark, standing in the corner, shaking, looking for the killer, when you see that clown costume that had been hanging in the corner start to slowly move.
Come on.
It's the most fucking perfect scene in a movie.
One of the most perfect slasher scenes. Absolutely, Terry. It is incredible.
Like, the first time we saw this, I remember our minds were blown.
Like, no way.
We were like, oh, my God, how did that happen? The
watching
way,
it again today, I'm like, oh,
fuck.
Wow.
And, like, the
it looks
mask,
so good.
But the mask looks so good. The mask is so clean. The outfit looks so good. It's not cheesy. It's not corny. It's super scary. His eyes, the way his eyes move, and just, like, slowly looking up in the mask, like, it's perfect. Like, it's just such a perfect scene in a movie.
I totally agree.
And then when the bullets are ineffective and she, you know, grabs the doll and rips its head off to find the, like, pointy stake that it held the head on.
Old school doll.
Oh, my God. Yeah, before safety measures had been implemented.
Stabbing him.
Like, the doll that I have a scar on my lip from one of those old hard dolls. It was that super hard plastic. And this relates to our thing. My brother threw me on a waterbed when I was, like, 4 or 5. And the hard doll's hand went all the way through my lip and cut my lip in half. Yeah, and that's why I have a scar on my lip. And the doctor was like, I can't sew it up. She's too little. She's going to have plastic surgery when she's older. And guess what? I never did. I just left it. I got a
you
cool
know what,
scar.
Tara? You're perfect as you are.
Just got a cool scar on my lip. That's what's happened.
I'm mad at it.
That doll that took me, just like the doll that took Eric out. Or did it?
Well, falls down those stairs, down to the ground. But what happens right as the credits are about to roll? Those eyes open.
He opens them peepers, but maybe they're open because he's dead.
It's amazing. You know, one of the reveals, one of the great 80s slasher reveals is the discovery of the one chick's head in the toilet, which is great.
All the bathroom scenes in this were terrifying.
But this is just, I think, a real standout of 80s slashers. Again, it's not the trashy kind that generally are the kind that you and I gravitate towards.
And it's not that like marketing heavy type that's going to be a gimmick and have a big franchise.
It's just a great, great movie. And it's one that, you know, we always recommend to people, you know, what's a good 80s slasher that we might not know. Again, I think, you know, people listening are probably like, oh, of course, it's one of the classics. Anyone who's like, I love, you know, Friday and Halloween.
But we all have like little blind spots here and there.
I get so excited when I haven't seen a movie that's a quote unquote classic. Like people can't believe I haven't seen or you haven't seen.
Awesome.
You know, they're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, dude. I always love that. But this to me is one of the all time greats, and I think this is a fun one to come back after a few weeks of being off. And again, graduation time. People are graduating right now.
Maybe we did a little early. We should have done this like in June.
I hope they're, you know, going out into the world and
being upright citizens.
Pan Am flight attendant one.
Yeah.
A lawyer like the other.
Med school.
Hey, you know, look.
All the greats.
You know.
All the professions that we
all
have. All
of the professions that
here
neither
we
Tara
are
and
with
I
all these professions.
Went into. You should do it because we didn't do it. Do it for us. You know what I mean? Do it for us. Well.
Or just save your time and like.
Yeah, go to. Actually, just save everything and go to Osaka next April.
Yes!
And also make sure to pick up the Eroticism LP Effort on Hospital Productions. Come on. Well, again, look, we don't make promises, but I think schedules are starting to even out. Don't know what we're going to do in the next episode, but we'll be here.
Well, we do make promises. We just don't make promises that we know we won't keep.
We're unlike magnetic fields.
Yeah.
I've been making promises I know I'll never keep.
We will keep them.
One of these days, I'm going to leave you in your sleep. We just re-listened to that song and that album for the first time in a while. Yeah. Magnetic Fields, Charm of the Highway.
Should
Ship.
I think of
one
that?
One of the greatest
every
albums
every time
of all
you
time.
Get up to pee in the night, maybe he's leaving. Every night.
That's it.
That's it, I guess.
That's it.
That's it.
It was great. Now, it was a great run.
Where are you going? Well, I'm sleeping.
I got nowhere to go. You're stuck with me, so.
All right, well.
You're stuck with me, and the listeners are stuck with underground espionage. So we will be back with something.
Sometime.
Thank you so much for the spark. Go watch. Oh, my God.
What is going on with me? You are like a loosey goose right now.
What happened?
You know what? I'll take us out. Thank you so much for being with us here today, underground espionage listeners, and we'll catch you next time.